CliffCentral.com.
Now it is time for a little bit of Collectomania. So Collectomania, of course, every week is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out at scoinshop.com. And the reason we love having them on CliffCentral.com is because you can actually collect, you know, precious metals from them as well. You can get a gold coin, you can get silver, you can get platinum from them. And this is one of the few ways that you can actually have this stuff as a hedge against currency depreciation, frankly. It's something that you should think about. You have a couple of gold or silver coins in the safe, or you put them in the bank if you want to make them a little bit more safe. That gives you some kind of safe haven against the ups and downs of currencies. And we talk, you know, a lot of cryptocurrency here. We talk a little bit about foreign exchange. We talk a little bit about investments in stocks and shares. But if you're smart, you should also have some diversification into precious metals. And this is one of the things you can do to actually tick that box. So go along to scoinshop.com and see there are lots of very, very interesting collectibles there. We spoke about the James Bond coin that was released just the other day, and you can get some of those. But they've got all kinds of interesting stuff there. And speaking of interesting stuff, if you collect interesting or unusual things, get hold of us on contact@cliffcentral.com. We would love to hear from you, and we'd like to feature you and your collection on Collectomania. So we got an email from Rowan de Villiers. He sent us an email. He said, my passion for collecting encyclopedias was fostered by my journeys around South Africa, moving quite a bit when I was young, and I had a naturally curious mind. It started when I was 7 years old, and over the years, I've expanded my collection to about 50 books. There are a wide range of topics that are covered in them, from the culinary arts to art history and many more. Some are bought, some inherited, some were given to me by family and friends. The collection is spread between my home and my parents' home, as I don't have the space to store it all in one place. And I have a 2.5-year-old who loves to draw in books and therefore ruin the collection. Yeah. I recently acquired a book on the Byzantine Empire's art that has become a valuable part of my collection. So let's talk to Rowan. Let's find out what he's up to. Hey, Rowan, how's it going, man?
Hey, morning, Gareth. Well done yourself.
Good, good, good. So you collect encyclopedias, but it sounds like you collect all kinds of interesting books.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty much something that I've been fascinated with since I was a young kid. You mentioned 7 years old. I actually went through my books over the weekend, and I discovered that one of the first books I was given when I was five, mm-hmm. So one of the first encyclopedias is this one here, Encyclopedia for Animals, and it was given to me awesome. On my birthday in 95, and that's pretty much where it all started. But I think, yeah, in terms of collections of rare books and things like that, I thought I brought this one along today. This is a book by Winston Churchill. It's the Second World War's abridged edition, and this one was also inherited, but you can see by the condition that it's really, really old.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's just something I'm very passionate about, and you know, the history behind it and the fascination by it. But I just think also it's because there are not many encyclopedias that are being published anymore.
No,
they're going to become more and more valuable as time progresses. So yeah, it's something that I'm very interested in.
So I've also got a couple of sets of encyclopedias. I got one which my parents gave me eventually. It was the one that I grew up with. It was something that I think kept me sane when I was a kid, because I was always interested in so many different things. And my grandmother, who never let me win at Trivial Pursuit, said to me, I'm not going to make this easy for you. If you want to beat me at Trivial Pursuit, you'd better learn. And I remember going through the encyclopedias virtually every night before I went to sleep. I'd read as many pages as I could until I fell asleep. And that's probably one of the things I'll give credit to for general knowledge and my love for an appreciation for and curiosity for the world. And if you have an encyclopedia set as a kid, especially before the internet, you know, I mean, we didn't have endless online resources. And an encyclopedia was like a gold mine. I could use that to look up anything from, you know, human anatomy to what you said just now about the Byzantine Empire to art to, you know, science. I could look that stuff up in the encyclopedia and get a kind of general knowledge about it, which I think led me on to interests in very specific things later on. So did you actually read these books as a kid? I mean, were you interested in them from cover to cover?
Yeah, so I mean, talking about cover to cover, when we lived in Bloemfontein, my parents used to get so irritated with me because we would have guests come over and I would wake them up at the crack of dawn at like 4:30, 5 o'clock with a Childcraft book in my hands, and I would expect the guests to read it to me and basically read it from cover to cover. And they used to be so pissed off that they would actually look at me and go like, really, this is 4:30 in the morning. We're actually on holiday here. Why the hell are you waking up us up at 4:30 in the morning? And it just progressed further and further. And I've read a lot of them. And some of them I've actually read sections of it. The ones that actually I've read pretty avidly are the collections of the British Empire and the World War II binders. Nice. That are in my collection. I think there's about 14 or 15 of them. And yeah, those are very intriguing because that's a chronological encapsulation of history from beginning to the end of the British Empire.
Do you think it's getting easier to collect books now? Obviously, one day it'll be a very rare and expensive hobby again. But because people are divesting themselves of books, you know, you can find everything on the internet, as I said earlier. So people don't, and you've got Kindle now. So many people would read digital versions of things rather than have the actual books. Of course, they take up space. You need to have places to store them. If I had to move, if I had to move house now, I guarantee you 60 to 70% of the weight of whatever you took out of my house would be books. And that's not necessarily sensible, right?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm actually like half of my books are stored at other places. Yeah. Because if I had to store them in one place, I think half of them would have been destroyed by now, either by my 2-year-old daughter or the fact that there's just... This is, as Tian rightly said, it's just a fire hazard in so many ways.
Have you considered getting a vault, Rowan? Firstly, Rowan, incredible hair. And also, I did want to say this at the beginning.
Oh, my God.
Was what's Rowan on? What's Rowan on?
Oh, my God.
On a serious note, have you considered getting a vault for them? Like, I mean, you're collecting seriously. What you've got will be a collector's item within 10 to 15 years. Have you thought of getting like a vault or something like that?
Or a storage container?
Well, the thing is, there's risks with that as well. Because if you store it in a facility that could potentially get water damage and those kind of things, then you sit in a position where you could be screwed. And also insurance companies, and just not, they don't insure books. That's the crazy thing is they, unless they're a first edition hardcover and they're worth over, I think it's like 10,000 Rand, insurance companies might consider it.
Yeah.
But if it's low value, then, and you can still, they're still widely available, then you can forget about it. So yeah, there's that aspect to consider, but I guess really I just kind of store it wherever I can, or I loan it out to people, because I know if I loan it out to other people, then I'm going to get them to look after it just as well as I do. But
here's a bit of a selection of your collection of books. What's the most you've spent on a book?
Sure, that's a question. I think the closest that I've spent is I was in an antique bookstore in Stanford outside of Manus, and oh my God, who was that?
That's Simbulela's new girlfriend. You want to take a look again?
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I just had to interrupt. You spent how much?
No, it's fine. I think it's probably around about $2,000 on a book.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
But that book sadly also got lost. I lent it to my English teacher back when I was in high school, and then it just got lost.
Never lend a book to someone unless you expect not to get it back.
Yeah, so it was kind of sad that I lost it. But anyway, it was a book about the Windsor family. It was called The Windsor Tapestries, and it was a first edition. And it was quite a valuable item in my collection and then just vanished into thin air. I'm still wondering if it's still sitting somewhere at my old high school. But yeah, that's a very interesting one.
You know, I sometimes have dreams about being given a key to like the rare books section of a famous university or a really big public library. Just being given those keys and being allowed to just go in and explore for hours and hours and hours, because I think that would be a kind of heaven for me as well. And that their books, for example, I ordered a catalog of books from this library in, I think it's in Boston in America. And they sent it to me on a DVD. Now, none of my machines can read a DVD anymore. So I gave it to Greg at our office and he downloaded it onto USB for me. But it's a collection of probably about 50 or 60 books that are no longer in print that someone has painstakingly gone and scanned every page of these 50 to 60 books.
Wow.
And none of them can be bought anymore. But now I have the versions on a digital copy. I don't know what to do with them, though, because it's on a little USB, which obviously I'm never going to erase. So I've actually written on the USB what it is and put it into the safe. It's the only thing I can think to do with it.
Mm. Well, it's like I was in the my wife and I, we traveled to Prague back in 2018, and we were able to go into the Klementina, which is one of the oldest libraries in Europe.
Wow.
And you're actually not even allowed to touch the books. You stand at a railing and you can't even take pictures in the library. It's mm-hmm. that sensitive. And 90% of the books are in Latin, so you wouldn't be able to even understand it, because the Clementina was a monastery back in the day.
Yeah.
So it's protected. It's an absolutely stunning library. Took my breath away when I walked in. But those books, some of them are 600 to 700 years old.
Wow.
So it's an incredible, incredible collection. And the amazing thing is that it was locked up. The Soviet Union did us a very good favor with the Clementine, and they just boarded it up during the Cold War and just ignored it and never looked
Thank
after
God.
It. And then in 1992, they unlocked it and they discovered that these books were still in good condition. They hadn't been destroyed and overused. So,
that's phenomenal.
Yeah, we're very lucky. That's incredible. The fact that it survived a World War and the Soviet and the Cold War.
On a very short list of things the Soviet Union did to advance humanity, that's absolutely on there. I'm pleased to have that report from you. That's very good. So encyclopedias are interesting because obviously they contain, all the knowledge that people had at that time in a series of books. But these collections are available and there are bookshops across South Africa that are selling them. I think a lot of people have tried to get rid of them because they're heavy and they take up space. There are really, really great encyclopedias that are full of like color plates and illustrations and that sort of thing. And then there are those ones that are much more like dictionaries. Are there any particular collections of, because again, people used to make fun of encyclopedia salespeople. They used to go, oh, the encyclopedia is like the everyman's entry into the world. But these days, I think that they probably do have quite a lot of value, especially if you've got a good set of Britannicas or one of those.
Yeah, I mean, the Britannicas are probably worth quite a bit now. I know that there's a collection in the UK that's probably worth close to £400,000, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
It was one of the first that were published back in the 19th century, so it's quite a valuable collection. But again, encyclopedias are... I mean, I found an encyclopedia for... The Sailorman's Cook. There was, I forget the name of the book, but it was in a antique bookstore in Cork Bay in Cape Town, and it was a second edition, and they were selling it for R6,500.
Sure.
The books are going to become the next collectible that people don't realize are going to be worth quite a lot.
I think so. Jesus, what was that? Wolves.
Sorry, that's my dog. Apologies.
Wolves. Wolves. There are wolves that come to eat you.
Sorry. It's going to come and eat you. I'm so sorry about that.
Whoa. What kind of dogs you got going there?
It's a beagle, and he doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm going to show us.
I was going to say a beagle. They have those extended barks that turn into kind of howls.
Please go and fetch your beagle. We want to see the beagle now.
Just give me a second.
Yeah, I want to see this dog. I love
what Ryan should have done was looked in the encyclopedia.
They don't just go wolf, they go woo, woo, woo.
Let's see the beagle.
Oh, there we go.
Oh man, hello.
There he is.
Awesome dog. I love beagles. Aww. Hello.
What's his name?
Sorry, I didn't mean to hurt him, but yeah, that's
no shame.
This is Blake.
What is it? Blake. Hello, Blake.
Yeah.
Blake. Oh man.
Yeah, he's a bit of a nuisance. He's gorgeous. But he's a family pet, so he's very much full of energy.
That's awesome. Okay, now we've met the family hound. That's good news.
Yeah.
Apparently, your dog made Tracy's pug bark and growl. So how's that? We're starting.
There we go.
We're starting a chain of barking across the country this morning.
We're so influential.
We're starting a chain, Bok. Feels like we're back in the 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. There's obviously, you know, there are things about these books that make them interesting from a value point of view, and lots of people who collect things are only collecting them for their value. But other people collect them for a number of other reasons. I mean, one of the things I like about books is that I can reference them whenever I like, which is kind of helpful because I'm interested in stuff that most other people are not. So, you know, if it's genealogical or heraldic or, you know, it has to do with inorganic chemistry, then I'm the only one who cares about that shit. But I've got my books and I know where to look something up if I'm interested in it. It's easier than Googling it for me. And the other thing is that I think books give character to a room. Like, I love the fact that a lot of rooms in my house, probably the only two exceptions are the kitchen and the dining room and the bathrooms. But otherwise, I've got books in pretty much every other room. And it makes it look nice. It makes it look like it's lived in. And, you know, if you're using those books and they've got a little bit of character because they're not in a glass case, no one can touch them, people read through them. I mean, I've got one friend, whenever she stays here, and she'll come and visit me, she'll spend the night sometimes and she'll read the Asterix books, which is by no means, you know, high literature or something that's valuable, but she absolutely loves it. So she says to me every time that she's here, she reads one of the Asterix books. It takes her like 15, 20 minutes and she loves it just before she goes to sleep.
Yeah, no, definitely. Where is that book? Over here. This one my dad gave me. Obviously thought I was quite an idiot when it came to doing it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So he gave me a Reader's Digest do-it-yourself manual, which was published in, God knows when, first published in, 1975. So he clearly thought I was inept at hammering a nail into a wall and putting up frames, which I actually am, because I've destroyed enough in my life to know putting up frames and things in our house. Like, I've just chipped the other day.
That's okay, though. I mean, I think it's a bit better than the book my mom gave me
before
I was married, which was called Cooking for One. And I used it a lot today.
That's unfortunate.
I still use it now.
There you go.
Well, I was like, Mom, how much faith do you have in me?
Oh, my God.
Well, there you go.
Speaking of cookbooks, Peter John Vardis says, I collect cookbooks. It's hard to believe how much value some have. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that do-it-yourself book is, like, you'll find some stuff in there that people have forgotten today. I'll tell you what, if you page through that thing, you'll discover how to, like, get the moisture out of a watch or funny things that people don't know about anymore. You know, some people, there's some interesting stuff there. There's some wisdom. There's some arcane knowledge, which we've moved on from because we think, oh, well, you know, if the watch doesn't work, we'll send it to someone. There used to be a time where we had to solve those problems ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, my grandfather, my dad's father, he pretty much fixed everything in his house. He never ever sent it to a repairman.
Yes.
He became pretty much a handyman in his own home. So when anything broke, whether it be a toaster, a hairdryer, we would take it to him because he would know how to fix it.
He'd fix shit.
So he just did everything. He was like, oh, just call Grandpa Frank. He'll fix it for you. Don't worry. Right. And I mean, he worked for the South African Post Office, which then became Telkom for 45 years.
Right.
So he just kind of learned as he went on in life.
I really admire that. That's absolutely incredible. And what I admire still, Rowan, is your openness to lending books out, because Gareth's dream is to get the key to all the old books. I also have a dream with the books that have been stolen from me. Is I have a dream where I murder each person actively with my hands.
Ah, this is where the serial killers come in. See, Leanne, we've gone full circle, Leanne.
Mbulelo, you can haunt them in your death by having your book fly out the shelf like a poltergeist.
Well, in Bolero, there's actually quite a few books that are quite heavy and hefty enough to kill someone. So you've got a murder weapon already.
Mm. All right.
Yeah,
so Rowan, if your house is burning down, which you can only take one book with you and you grab your beagle with the other arm, what's your book going to be? What are you saving and what are you going to have to let go?
Ooh, that's
it's tough, right?
Shit, that's a hard one.
Mm.
That's like deciding whether to take my child or a book. Lord.
No, it's 50-50.
Well, wow, that's a difficult one. I mean, sure, I'd probably take some of the more older books, but I'd probably take my book of Winston Churchill because it's a valuable book to me.
That's excellent.
But that's it. I'd take that one. I mean, Winston was quite a wise man in his day. So
he wrote some good stuff down. Here's a great piece of advice on the do-it-yourself stuff. Corona's Boring says, what happens is... Hang on, my microphone went off. So Corona's Boring says... with wet electronics, you leave it in rice overnight and then the Chinese people come when you're sleeping and fix it.
Oh, wow. No. I don't know. Ooh, that's interesting.
Do you go to these like these fairs, these what do you call them? It's almost like an outside kind of market.
Craft markets.
Yeah, where people sell shit, because those places can be either really interesting or terribly disappointing. And I've realized that so many of them are terribly disappointing that it's not worth getting in your car and going to them most of the time. But do you find that if you go to those markets, you occasionally find some treasure?
I mean, there's the Milnerton Market in Cape Town that's quite well known for being a flogger of just people's hoarding of stuff. I mean, it's... sometimes people say, you're a collector. Oh, you must be a hoarder. That's the usual comment. It's like, oh. But,
The difference in your mind between a hoarder and a collector? I say it's tidiness. Hoarders are untidy.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I was saying to them about how everyone collects something. And if she argued with me for about 10 minutes saying, not everyone collects something. I said, okay, well then go through your phone and look at how many photos you have on your phone. Then you a collector because you're collecting photos. So everyone collects something, whether it be jewelry, whether it be money, whether it be we're collecting something. So at the end of the day, if you're a hoarder or a collector, you're still collecting. So I think it's
Bulelo keeps he keeps one toenail from every one of his victims. That's what he collects.
It's true. It's for the soup I'm going to poison the next victim with.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. No, but there are some great places in Cape Town. There used to be an antique craft market at Blauwklip and Farm in the Boerland area in Cape Town. And the one day I found a Rolex watch there.
Jeez.
The guy was selling, it was made in 1934.
Yeah.
And he was selling it for, I think it was like 25 or 28,000 rand. Hmm. But it was a vintage. It still had its original strap, but was still all the original mechanisms. And I just put it on my wrist, and I didn't even realize what price it was. And I said, shit, when I saw 28,000, I was like, okay, here you go. You can just have it back.
But you'd probably be able to, if it was 28,000 then, it's probably worth like 100,000 now. So it might have been the right thing to buy. Some stuff you really never know. Well, listen, dude, thank you for sharing your collection with us. It's no problem. It's great to have someone who cares about books as much as some of us do. And I hope you continue to expand your collection and that your daughter doesn't draw all over them. One day she'll appreciate them.
Hopefully. Yes, we'll never know.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of answers coming in here about the difference between hoarders and collectors. Collectors are organized, says Luke and Day. And then someone else says hoarders are usually driven by some fear or a lack of something. That's interesting. Mm. Collectors are engineers. Well, I don't know about that. Okay. I'm not sure.
Interesting comment.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thanks, man. Good to see you.
Thanks, Gareth. Nice to see you, Rowan.
There we go. Rowan de Villiers and his collection of books in Collectomania today, which is brought to you by the Scoin Shop and the South African Gold Coin Exchange. CliffCentral.com.